Merci, Chantal. La présentation que Chantal et moi allons faire tout de suite maintenant, c'est juste pour mettre la table. It's just to set up the theme and all that. So don't ask us any questions. We're just presenting facts about Bill 94. The real panels come after this. Okay. So we'll try and be as quick as possible. Just to what if some of you are coming from out of town, out of province, so you might want to know what it is that we're talking about when we talk about this Bill 94. Bill 94, here I am on the site of the, this is great, we are on the site of the National Assembly. Projet de loi 94, the name of it is Loi établissant, I have the name in my, I have a little PowerPoint presentation, I have the name of it in English, so you'll see. Loi établissant les balises encadrant les demandes d'accommodement de l'administration gouvernementale et dans certains établissements. That's the real name of the proposal, the legislative proposal. I want to bring your attention to, on... basically to two articles of the proposed bill. And the first one, la présente loi a pour objet d'établir les conditions dans lesquelles un accommodement peut être accordé en faveur d'un membre du personnel de l'administration gouvernementale ou d'un établissement ou en faveur d'une personne à qui des services sont fournis par cette administration ou cet établissement. Constitue un accommodement l'aménagement dicté par le droit à l'égalité d'une norme ou d'une pratique d'application générale faite en vue d'accorder un traitement différent à une personne qui autrement subirait des effets préjudiciables en raison de l'application de cette norme ou de cette pratique. So it's basically about reasonable accommodation. What is an accommodation in the case of basically when you deal with governmental services? The other interesting argument, not argument, but article, I'm sorry, that needs to be known is this one, number six. Aide d'application générale, la pratique voulant qu'un membre du personnel de l'administration gouvernementale ou d'un établissement et une personne à qui des services sont fournis par cette administration ou cet établissement ait le visage découvert lors de la prestation des services. So it's a general practice, you should have your face uncovered. Lorsqu'un accommodement implique un aménagement à cette pratique, il doit être refusé si des motifs liés à la sécurité, à la communication ou à l'identification le justifient. I'm mentioning that to you because basically it's to, we're not banning the niqab, we're not banning the burqa, this is not what the law is about. However, the law does say that if you choose to cover your face when you're going to deal with the government, any government services, or you're trying to get some government services, the accommodation that this is an accommodation we're not going to make. Essentially, that's what the law says. So I'm just saying that because I think it's important to mention that we're not, the government is not here trying to ban or prohibit the niqab or the burqa, but is essentially saying that if you're going to do that, well, we're not going to make accommodation for you. So let me just go on with... So, the English title, an act to establish guidelines governing accommodation requests within the administration and certain institutions. So that's the article number one. And I guess I'll just talk about the article number six just to give you a sense. And the most important one is really the line, the paragraph below. If an accommodation involves an adaptation of that practice, which is the practice of not of uncovering your face, and reasons of security, communication, or identification warranted, the accommodation must be denied. So really, this is what we're talking about. I want to give you a little background on where does this law come from, or this proposal. It's not a law yet, but it's a proposal, legislative proposal. In the fall 2009 and winter 2010, there was quite a commotion in the press and in the public here in Quebec over the expulsion of an Egyptian-born immigrant woman who was insisting on wearing the niqab in one of her classes de francisation, which is basically the French courses that the government offers to immigrants who come to Quebec. Despite the request of the school authorities and the Ministry of Immigration not to do so. There was a similar incident as well with another woman in the winter of 2010. These women filed complaints to the Quebec Human Rights Commission, and because of that, the government felt compelled to clarify the situation and to legislate. So the Minister of Immigration, Yolande James, just to give you a sense of the spirit in which this is done, was quoted as saying, there is no ambiguity on this question. If you want to attend our classes, the Classe de Francisation, if you want to integrate in Quebec society, here our values are that we want to see your face. So that gives you a sense of the spirit in which this law is being introduced. So Bill 94 is introduced after that in the Legislative Assembly by the Minister of Justice in March 2010. So that's sort of the background. The context, where are we? Where is this coming from? It's not a new debate, it's not a new thing, if you like, in Quebec society, and I think in most Western democracies. But here in Quebec, through the 1990s, there is much that was made in public debates, for example, over headscarves in schools and in public institutions. It started in 1992 when high school girls or primary school girls were not being expelled, but were being asked not to wear their headscarf in primary, elementary school, and high school. In 1995, the Quebec Human Rights Commission determined that public schools should not deny students wearing a hijab access to the services for religious reasons. So for a number of years, it looked like it was settled, but still today, there are many who still advocate that hijabs be banned in public institutions. Talking about hijabs here, not niqab, we're just talking about the headscarf. In 2001, the town of Outremont adopted a policy which removing the roof wire, which is installed a few meters above, some of you might know, above the ground and create a symbolic extension of the Jewish home. This is mostly for more Orthodox Hasidic Jewish people to extend their home into the public domain. It's an important symbol for the Hasidic Jews. The Hasidic community got a superior court injunction against the town and was authorized to install the roofs in the town of Outremont. For those who you don't know, Outremont is just a small enclave in the middle of the island. 2002, a West Island school board prohibits a young man, Gurbaj Singh Multani, was a high school Sikh boy, to wear a skirpan in school. You know, the kirpan is the symbolic dagger that Sikh men will be wearing as a result of their religious belief. The Quebec Court of Appeal, this went to court. The Quebec Court of Appeal legitimized the school board decision, that was in 2004. However, in 2006, the Supreme Court of Canada invalidated the Court of Appeals decision and ruled that the boy should have been allowed to wear a skirpan. And that sort of triggered a flurry of I wouldn't say that triggered the reasonable accommodation debate, but certainly people started asking questions. Why are we doing this? Are we not pushing accommodation too far? So this was a big issue. You remember, it was talked about yesterday, there was the whole issue of the YMCA and the not the synagogue, but the school, the Jewish school, about frosting the windows of the YMCA. That was a big issue as well, that sort of led to people asking questions, why are we accommodating this far? That was a big question that was in the public basically around 2006-07. There was, of course, the so-called Hérouville norme de vie. You all remember this, those of you who are from Quebec, and probably even if you're not from Quebec, you probably remember that. Hérouville is a small town about 160 kilometers northeast of here.